Thank you, guys. Please be seated. Come on, turn to someone and say, you're gonna love this Ukrainian boy. How are you all? We are so happy. Vera, my wife Vera, is here with me, and Vera and myself, we are so happy to be with you guys. We've been talking to Pastor Stovall. We met these guys at Hillsong Conference in Sydney, Australia. Do you know that small church in Sydney, Australia called Hillsong? And nobody knows that church, especially their music, our music, right? So we met these guys in Sydney, Australia, and since then, every year we would come to Sydney Hillsong Conference, and I would look to Pastor Stovall, waiting for him to invite me to come to your church to speak. And he would never do that. I said, can I come this year? He said, no, your church is not qualified yet. Your church is not big enough yet. Next year, I would say the same thing. Well, finally, last year, I came and I said, our church is about 4,000 people now. Can I come now? He said, all right, you can come. So here we are. Of course, I'm joking, but we can joke because we are good friends. And I believe not only pastors are good friends, but our two churches are going to be connected in the future. And thank you guys so much for what you are doing here. And thank you for supporting us and, you know, just praying for us. My wife and I, we have, first of all, we have two children. Our son, he is 20 years old. I know I'm not looking like a father of 20-year-old son, but you have to realize it's very cold in our country, okay? So, and during Soviet time, we never had TVs either. So what do? I don't know. We started very early. I think I was 3 and she was 2. And we also, our son, he's 20 and he's a worship pastor in our church. And we also have a daughter. Her name is Diana, and she's 14 years old, and she's running the house. Let me tell you a little bit of our salvation story. In 1991, the Soviet Union, that superpower which you used to hate, collapsed. Praise God. Who can say praise God? And in 1991, 1992, we had so many pastors and evangelists and preachers who used to come to our country to start the churches and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our people. In October 1992, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of October, the group of people from Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia, they came to us and they came with the intention of starting a church. But they could not find any saved musicians at that stage, if you could imagine, because we just got out of Soviet Union. Nobody was saved. Yes, we knew Jesus. We knew about Jesus, but we knew about, you know, religious Jesus from the Orthodox Church. And most of the stuff they are doing in Orthodox Church, it has nothing to do with the Bible or what we would know today as a church. So they could not find any saved musicians, so they went to Conservatorium of Music, to Musical Academy, and hired unsaved musicians to play for the opening of the church. One of those musicians was myself. They came to me and they said, Zhenya, would you like to play for the church? And you have to realize, at that time I was 21 years old, I had a long hair, I was in heavy metal, rock music, you know, all kinds of stuff. So when they came and they said, would you like to play in church? I said, church, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the, you know, those hallelujah kind of thing. I said, no, thank you very much, I'm not in it. And they said, we're gonna pay you $5 per night for concert. That gets me interested because you need to realize in 1992, my salary in Ukraine as a normal working guy's salary was $4 per month. $4 a month. So when they said, we're going to pay you $5 per concert per night, I said, for $5, I'm going to play for Jesus, for Muhammad, for Buddha, you name it, I'm in. So that's how I got interested. They paid me money to play in church. So I played 3 concerts and they paid me $15. It was a huge money for our family back then. And then said, then the pastor of the church said, we are starting a church this Sunday. Would you like to come every Sunday and play? I thought it's pretty good deal to come every Sunday to play for 30 minutes and get my $5 a Sunday. And you know what? First Sunday came no money. Another Sunday came no money. Next Sunday, and I thought to myself, maybe they're gonna pay me once a month as they usually pay in the Ukraine. And they never paid me those money. And I came to my pastor, I said, where's my money? And he said, the concerts was a one deal, but the church is totally another deal. And I was so frustrated. But you know what? During that time, God already did something in my spirit. I started to come to that church and we started to play in that church, being a musician, totally not saved musicians, did not have a clue of what's going on. By the way, during the preaching time, we were renting this movie theater. We would go down to the bar and had some drinks and smoke cigarettes and had some vodka and cognacs and, you know, and then I would say, hey guys, we need to go back to the stage to play for that thing called altar call. And, you know, we would come to altar call like this, you know, hello. And we would play for altar call like that. Praise God that my pastor was not thinking inside the box. He was thinking outside the box. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then about 2 months later, I came to my pastor and I said, when I'm gonna do this? He said, Zhenya, what do you wanna do? I said, you know, every time during the altar call, I was standing on a stage and playing on my bass guitar. When I'm gonna do this, you know, giving my life to Jesus. And it was outside on the street. And he said, you can do it right now. I said, no way. I'm not gonna pray on the street. You know, church is finished. God is gone already. He went to other place now. And he said, you can pray right now. And my wife and I, we prayed the prayer of salvation. Since then, we were in church every Sunday. Listen to this. 2 years later, I finished conservatorium, I went to Bible college, and 4 years after the day of my salvation, my wife and I, we became a senior pastors of what now known as a Hillsong Church in Kiev, in Ukraine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, give it up for Jesus one more time. He deserves our praise. I want to show you little piece of our latest praise and worship CD or DVD, I should say. And this was recorded about 18 months ago in presidential palace in the Ukraine. What used to be known as a Soviet Union headquarters. Now we are praising the Lord in this auditorium. Please have a look at this. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Well, here we go. Church in Ukraine. He's a good-looking boy, isn't he? All right, turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. By the way, do you understand my English? Nice. You have to realize my native language is Ukrainian. I'm thinking in Russian, I'm speaking in English, and I'm praying in tongues. So you don't want to know what's happening inside this head right now. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Can you repeat with me, please? Many rich people. But a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into a treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Sometime in 1993, when I just got saved, I remember my pastor said, for us to read the book of Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, And I remember I was reading this particular story, and I thought to myself, Jesus must be a really bad guy. I mean, think about this. First of all, he was sitting and watching how people bring in their money. And Bible says many rich people would bring big and large amounts of money. But then a little poor babushka would come. And she only had 2 copper coins, let's say 2 US dollar cents in her pocket. If I would be there, I would say to this lady, no, not you, lady. Let those big and rich boy give their money. Would you agree with me? We would, as human beings, we all would say this, right? But have you noticed that Jesus did not stop that little lady to give? And I thought to myself, Jesus must be a really cruel guy. I mean, he was so desperate for money, for his ministry, that he even took 2 copper coins from that little lady. And then I realized something, that I asked myself a question, why Jesus did not stop that little lady to give? Because I believe Jesus knows the Bible very well. Who can say amen? Jesus knows the Bible very well. He knows what it says in Genesis chapter 8. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 8? He knows what it says in Genesis chapter 8, and it says this. In verse 22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, in the first book of the Bible, God says, as long as the earth endures, and have you noticed that the first principle God is talking about before day and night, winter and summer, God is talking about the principle of seed time and harvest. Come on, repeat after me, seed time and harvest. I believe Jesus did not stop that little lady to give because he cannot go against his wrong principles. And I believe he did not stop that little lady to give because he wanted to start the whole mechanism of seed time and harvest in her life. If he would stop that little lady to give, if he would say to her, no, not you, lady, you are all right. I don't need your 2 copper coins. It's not going to change anything with my budget. It's not going to buy me a new projector. It's not going to buy me a new drums or new instruments. Or it's not going to pay for my facilities. He could say that, but he did not say that. Have you noticed that? Why? Because Jesus cannot go against his own word. And Bible says, as long as the earth remains. Who would agree that the earth is still remaining today? We have day and night. Amen? Is any one of you this morning, when you wake up this morning, you were in shock because the new day has arrived? I know that the pastor was in shock because it's raining, but you don't have to be in shock. You have people full of faith who can come even in a rain time. Can you say amen? But did you know, when you're waking up, did you put your curtains and say, what is this? Honey, it's all right. It's a new day. It's a new day. We are fine. No, we were not in shock. Why? Because it's so natural for us, the principles of day and night. Winter and summer, well, I should not say winter in Florida because it's a little bit difficult to describe winter in Florida. It's a bit different here. When people say we have such a cold winters, especially, you know, those guys in Australia, they say, we had such a cold winter. And I said, what's cold? Well, it's around 40 degrees. It's very, very cold. I said, let me tell you what's cold is. Cold is when you put out your nose sometime in November and put it on a shelf and put it back sometime in April. That's when it's cold. You know when it's cold. Can you say amen? But before day and night, before winter and summer, God is talking about the principle of what? Seed time and harvest. Come on, repeat after me. Seed time And Har, what I love about that principle, it's never seat time, seat time, seat time, seat time, seat time, seat time. Have you noticed it's a seed time and harvest? It's a two-in-one shampoo conditioner. Jesus was watching this lady, and this lady, Bible says, she brought in everything what she had to live on. Have you noticed that Jesus, not in a sum-wise, but in percentage-wise business. He's thinking percentage-wise. When he's talking about tithes is a 10%. Who would agree with that? Let me tell you, tithes is a 10%, not 10 bucks. I gave my tithes, I put $10 in it. No. Jesus is thinking in percentage-wise. This lady, she gave everything what she had to live on. Basically, she gave 100% of what she had in her pocket. That's why Jesus was so impressed. That's why he called his disciples and he said, guys, you need to see this. And the guys, disciples would come and they say, what, Jesus, what? Did someone brought $1 million offering? He said, no, guys, it's only 2 copper coins. Oh, Jesus, come on, May, wake up. No, guys, you don't understand. I am in percentage business. One day I was flying with my wife from Sydney, Australia, and I was reading an article about the famous guy. His name is Bill Gates. And Bill Gates gave $10,000 to a charity organization. And I thought to myself, what a nice guy. He gave $10,000 to a charity organization. Remember that story Jesus was saying, many rich people would bring bigger and large amount of money. I thought to myself, what a nice guy. He gave $10,000 to a charity organization. And then another thought came to my mind. Hold on a second. How much is $10,000 compared to all Bill Gates' wealth? In 1998, when I was reading that article, I think the wealth of Bill Gates was $61 billion. So I am a clever guy. I can do a little calculation. You know what? I can divide stuff. I can find out how much in percentage is 10,000 compared to $61 billion. You know how much it was? You will be in shock. It was 0.00001/1%. I said to my wife, he's not such a nice guy after all. I said, Vera, today we are giving to the church 30% of our money. We give 10% as a tithe, 10% to the building fund, and 10% to the missions. And you know what? Nobody writes an article in the newspaper about you and me. But I know one who writes another kind of article about people like you and me. Can you say amen? Come on. Give our Lord Jesus Christ a huge amount of applause. He deserves it. Hallelujah. Jesus did not stop that little lady to give because he cannot go against his own principle. And his principle says, as long as the earth endures, there will be springtime and harvest. There are going to be a seed time and harvest in all of our lives. And you know what? Maybe you can sit here in this auditorium. You are a brand new Christian. And you could say, I don't have much. I cannot even think that I could give my tithes because my tithes is going to be a very, very few dollars. Let me say this to you. Jesus could use those 2 copper coins from that little lady and I believe it brought blessings into her life. Can you say amen? So don't think about what you don't have. We all have something in our pockets. Can I hear a big amen? And listen, when I am saying about seed time and harvest principle, it's not only concerning finances. You can put this principle into every sphere of your life. When you are talking about your family, come on, put some seeds into the ground. When you're talking about your business, come on, man, put some seeds into the ground. Do something nice. Do something great. Start to sow some seeds, and finally you will see the harvest in your life. And it might not be a big harvest first, but it's going to be bigger than what you put before, right? It's going to be bigger. And slightly by, you know, little by little, you're going to grow your life. You're going to grow this church. You're going to grow your finances. You're going to grow your influence and significance in your life. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. When our church was just started, I said to you, in 1992, our people were so poor. My salary was $4 per month. So when this Australian pastor, and you have to understand, everybody who would be who would come from the West or from Australia, they would consider as a rich people. So when this Australian pastor would come to Ukraine, the economic situation was terrible. Shops were empty. People were so poor and miserable after collapsing of that whole country. I think our economy and our inflation grew like thousands and thousands of percent per month. People were losing houses, people were losing everything. So we were very, very in poor conditions. So when our pastor started the church, he would not talk about the principle of seed time and harvest. He would not take up an offering because, first of all, people would get mad at him for just about talking about this, because they would say, we are poor, don't even think to get some money from us. But secondly, even if everybody would give tithes, which is a cosmic idea I know in churches, I'll repeat it one more time. Even if everybody would give a tithe in church, it's not going to be much anyway, because people were earning such a small amount of money. And then one day, so my pastor would never teach about offerings and tithes in church. And then one day, about 3 months after the start of our church, God spoke to my pastor and he said, you are robbing my people. And my pastor said, excuse me, God, did I hear you well? Did you see those drums? I brought those drums from United States. Did you see that keyboard? I paid for that keyboard my own money to bring into this church. Do you see this hall? I pay for the rent of this hall from my own pocket. And you want to say to me that I am robbing your people, right? Did I hear you well? And God said, yes, you are robbing my people by not teaching them the principle of seed time and harvest. And he said, God, but if even if everybody would bring tithes, it's going to change anything in our budget. And God said, you start and I will show you what I can do with those people. So next Sunday he would stand so nervous in, you know, his legs were kissing each other. And he would give his first offering talk in our church. At that Sunday, from whole church, 250 people, we collected something like $8 from the whole church. $8. My pastor was so devastated. He said, I told you, God. He was so frustrated. But I believe Jesus, at that point, he was calling his angels. And he would say, guys, you need to come and see this. And the angels would fly billions and billions kilometers and miles to Kiev. They would all come. What, Jesus, what? Did somebody brought a gift of $1 million? No, it's only $8, guys. But you need to see what I can do with those $8. Come on, praise God, somebody. From that Sunday forward, our church has never been the same. Our people in church started to buy new houses, new cars, getting a new jobs. When we became a pastors, my wife and I, we became a pastors, I said, I'm sick and tired of that mission field mentality in our church. I'm sick and tired of sitting and waiting for support from the States, writing the letters to Stovall. He's never gonna send me anything anyway. So I'm just sick and tired of it. We're gonna become... Did I say something wrong? No, it's a... You did not hear it right. You need to hear through the Holy Spirit what I'm saying, all right? I said, we're not going to be a mission field anymore. We need to become a mission force. And whole church look at me like this. What do you mean mission force? I said, we're going to create a mission conference in our church. And they said, what's mission conference? That's when you invite in all the big boys, big Americans. They would come and bless our church. I said, no, we're not going to invite anybody. We're going to do a mission conference ourselves. And we're going to pledge some money and we're going to support some projects in Africa, in India, in those third world countries. We're going to send money from our poor Ukrainian church. The first missions conference, we raised in pledges $3,000. With a normal salary, hold on, normal salary at that stage around $50 a month. We raised $3,000. Next year, our church, we raised $3,000 and we gave away $3,500 in the end of the year, literally. Next year, our church raised in pledges to give to mission $12,000 and we gave away $12,500 to mission fields. Next year, our church raised $24,000 and we gave away $26,000. Next year, our church pledged $48,000 and we gave away $60,000 from our church in Kiev. 2 years ago, our church pledged $109,000 and we gave away $113,000 with the normal salaries, with the normal salaries of $200 per month. Last year our church pledged $165,000. And they are pretty much covered everything what was pledged. $165,000 were sent from our church. You remember those $8? You remember those $8? You remember why Jesus was so amazed by that little lady giving? He called his disciples. I believe at that Sunday, Jesus called his angels. Why? Because he was so excited. He was so excited of the new beginning in this church. And let me tell you, he is so excited today. Because I believe in this auditorium, there are people who are going to apply a seed time and harvest principle in your life. And maybe it's not going to be a big harvest straight away. It's going to be little by little. You remember those 3,000, 12,000, 24,000, 48,000, 60,000, 109,000, but it's going on and on and on and on. When you put some seeds, you will have harvest. You put some more seeds, you have more harvest. You put some more seeds, you have big harvest in your lives. Can I hear a big amen? One day I said to our church, we're going to do a miracle offerings in our church. Now whole church is trusting me, right? They said, what do you mean miracle offerings? I said, that kind of offering which we bring in for the church, for the birthday of our church, day of the birthday of our church, we're going to do a special kind of offerings in our church. And in the year of 2000, above normal tithes and offerings, in one Sunday in cash, our people would bring special miracle offering. We call it miracle offering in our church. $3,000 on that Sunday. Next year, miracle offering was $12,000. I told you how much people get in the salary. So you would, you are clever people. You know how to calculate, right? Next year, there was $21,500 in a miracle offerings in one Sunday. Next year, it was $72,000 in cash in one Sunday. My gosh, I love my country. It's all in cash. Next year, $88,000. Next year, which was 2 years ago, our church gave in one Sunday, those Ukrainian people which you saw in the video, they gave $164,000 in cash in one Sunday with the normal salaries of $200 per month. That was recorded as the biggest ever recorded offering in whole Soviet Union. Last year, September 2007, I remember I was praying to the Lord. And can I say this to you? You would probably feel my heart by now. It's not about money. Can you say amen? Guys, it's not about money. But what's happening in Kyiv shows where our people's hearts are. You know what? What's happening with the money in churches shows where the people's hearts are. If people love the church, they're gonna sow some money. They're gonna sow some seeds into the ground. Can you say amen? So I was sitting there, and I believe it was September 2007, a few months ago, and I was ready to have our next miracle offering in Kyiv. And I remember praying to the Lord, and I said, God, if our church would give $1 more than what we did last year, $164,000 in one Sunday, I will be a very happy pastor. As I said to you again, it's not about money. I'm not hungry for money, but I believe that shows where people's hearts are. At September the 30th, last year, 2007, our church did the last miracle offering weekend, and we raised $330,000 in one Sunday in cash in our church. Praise the Lord. When I spoke to Pastor Stovall about it, I realized that in your money, comparing the salaries between Ukrainian people and American people, that offering could be equivalent to $3.5 million offering if that would take in here in America. You remember that story about little poor widow? I believe Jesus did not stop that little lady to give because he wanted to start the whole mechanism of seed time and harvest in her life. I believe he did not stop because he cannot go against his own principles. And Jesus wants to bless your life. Can I hear a big amen? Jesus wants to bless your life. Right now, we are as a church, I'm not bragging, but in some sense I am bragging. You know what I mean? We started a church in Moscow 9 months ago, and Moscow is that small city of 22 million people live in that city. In Moscow, the biggest church is around 1,000 people. It's the biggest church in Moscow. The church of 300-400 people in Moscow consider is as a huge church. And let me tell you one more thing. Moscow is the most expensive city in the world right now. As a matter of fact, when I was flying to the States right now, I was reading a news magazine, Newsweek magazine. It's an American magazine. And they were telling the stories about how expensive our Moscow hotels are. And they were saying that in one particular Moscow hotel, they serve you a breakfast for $700. That's how much the breakfast costs. And we are starting the church there, and many people would come to me and they would say, Zhenya, are you crazy? I said, yes, I am crazy. Yes, I am crazy. Somebody need to tell these people about Jesus Christ and what Jesus can do. Hallelujah. And the whole thing is supported from our church in Kyiv. Ukrainian people are different to Russians. They live in much, much poor conditions than what Russian people would earn. But I believe Jesus is giving you prosperity for a reason. Jesus is giving you prosperity for a reason. And if you're going to apply this principle of seed time and harvest in your own life, it's going to change everything in your life. Can you say amen with me? Come on, give our Lord Jesus Christ big and huge round of applause one more time. Please bow down your heads with me. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you for this wonderful church. We thank you for rain today. We thank you for everything you did as a miracles today. I believe there are some people in this auditorium who are going to apply this principle, and this principle is going to change their lives. It's not what human beings created. That's what you, God, creating in our lives. And I believe this church is going to be even more blessed, even more prosperous for everything you planned for this church. I believe for a great new building in this church in Jesus' mighty name. But I believe this building is gonna come when everybody is gonna put some seeds into the ground. And praise you, Lord, we're gonna see some harvest in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. We love you, Lord, and we appreciate you for not stopping that little lady to give. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.